Okay, I mean, so this week on Act Casual, we are talking about fertility. That doesn't seem like a very casual topic.
I mean, some people take it pretty casually.
Well, I do not.
You do not.
The reason this is a topic is because I was in Chicago this week with this new company that I am going to freeze my eggs with. I'm very excited.
That's amazing.
I mean, congrats. Okay, wait. Excited's a weird word to say. I don't know if I'm excited, but I'm anxious to get this process done. I've been thinking about this for over a year now.
I think it's fair to be excited about that.
Well, the whole process itself is a lot. I mean, and it's not like, you know, when I went to Chicago, and obviously on season 2 of Very Cavalier, you can also see this, but I have a low egg count. I'm 37. And this is, you know, basically at this point, we are told as women that our eggs are geriatric, which is just, I mean, super discouraging, right? However, this company that the reason I even chose them, their name is Ova. They're in Chicago. And they have a really great outlook on this, and they only do egg freezing. And so they're very specialized in this area, and they really feel positive that they can, you know, have some good results with me. So, yeah, it's not like over, but it is a process, and you have to go through all these shots and like,
it's just to pump up the egg count.
Yeah. It's you get basically pump yourself with hormones. So it's, yeah, I'm going to be like insane.
Get ready for the tears.
My friend Mary Hilliard went with me, and she asked my doctor, while Kelly's on this medicine, is there medicine you can give the rest of us? Fair question.
Fair.
I felt it's like totally that was fair. A very fair question. I told them I need to probably just lock myself in my condo there for 2 weeks and not talk to anybody, but...
Is that all it is? It's 2 weeks?
It's 2 weeks. So you go in for 2 weeks, you pump yourself full of these hormones, and you can't exercise, you can't drink, you can't have sex. Basically any fun thing, any vice that I have is not happening for 2 weeks. I think the week before that, the couple weeks before that, I have to do birth control. I mean, all of these things go against everything I do in my life. Like, I hate chemicals, I hate hormones, I hate medicine. But I'm going to do this because I want a baby.
You love babies.
I love babies. So anyway, the reason this came up is because I'm telling Chip about my experience this week, and he was like, oh my God, but did you hear about...
I mean, it's like literally a waterfall of fertility stories happening right now. And I think...
Why is this happening in your life? Because you rambled off like 3 different stories.
Well, some of it's stuff that I've just, you know, read in the news. But
yeah,
I had some... Two of my friends told me pretty shocking things when I saw them last. And I think it's the timing is just because of the proliferation of things like Ancestry.com and 23andMe. And
oh, right.
We're so much more connected now by our DNA than we ever were. So it's like the amazing things of science that make the fertility clinics possible is now like we're uncovering things through science that we didn't know we would have access to.
Which is always the way it is, right? Like, there's these positive things that come. This is amazing, it's amazing I can freeze my eggs, you know, that I even have this option as a woman to go do something like this. But there's always these negatives or the crazy people out there who do insane things.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's the laws of physics. Like, there's equal and opposite reactions to everything.
Right. So,
and look, I mean, the birth of a child is a good thing, no matter the circumstances. I mean, hopefully, you know, things turn out great.
But yeah,
there's nothing more beautiful than the fact that, like, you can have a child. And people are overcoming these issues that are causing them not to be able to. So, but I think it's pretty remarkable, some of these stories that are coming out.
So, like, tell about you were at a party and a couple of your friends.
So, I went to a party in New York. This is a few months ago, and obviously won't name any names, but... I was talking to a friend of mine, and she told me that she was contacted by someone saying that he was her brother, and she has a biological brother that she grew up with. And meanwhile, he had been contacted by a woman that saying that she was his sister.
How are they finding this out? What do you mean?
These people. Okay. So
matching DNA,
it was through 23andMe.
Okay.
And the funny thing was my friend had been given a kit, and she did it against her husband's wishes, and it came back inconclusive.
Dun, dun, dun.
Her brother had done one, And I think he was contacted first. That was the story. So she was like, oh no, I'm going to go get another kit and I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I would be so pissed. And that's when
she found out that they had another brother. So basically the story was that her dad had donated sperm for whatever, $50 or whatever, when he was in college.
I think it's a little more than $50.
I mean, we're talking like, you know, this was in the 60s, 70s, early 70s.
I'm Googling it.
Yeah, but I've never done it. But yeah, their father had donated sperm when he was in college just to make beer money, probably, and never thought twice about it because fertility clinics were a thing of the future. And right. Lo and behold, they have siblings and they've met them.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm making
her jaw literally hit the floor.
You're right, though. Donors earn $70 for each donation, $50 at the time of donation, and $20 when the sample is released. That's it?
That's today's numbers. So think of what he was getting.
Wow. I mean, I know if you go through the egg process, like I've had friends or girls that I've known in the past that have donated their eggs and you can make like $10,000.
Oh, I mean, I had a friend in New York who did it and we would be out drinking and she'd be like, hey, I got to go to the bathroom and throw this shot in my ass. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy. They're doing that. They were doing the process that I'm going to go through. Like, I can't imagine electively doing that because it's...
Well, she was getting... I think she made $10,000. She did it twice. I think she got $10,000 both times. And yeah. Because it wasn't for her child, she didn't take nearly the care of herself that you're going to take. So she was basically selling bad eggs.
Right.
I mean, you would assume that they wouldn't be useful.
Also, wouldn't you walk around and wonder, like, I think for the rest of my life, if I saw a kid that was, you know, had my coloring or something, I'd be like, is that my kid?
Exactly. And look, I mean, not to like, I was doing some research on this topic and I just read a story about a guy in Oregon who is suing a fertility clinic because when he donated sperm, the contract that he signed said that no more than 5 children could be produced with his sperm and they all had to be on the East Coast. And through Ancestry.com, he got contacted by 2 people saying that they thought he was their biological father. Meanwhile, he has 3 biological children and an adopted child that he's raising. So there's 4 kids in his life that are his.
Yeah.
And because of that, he then submitted his DNA to Ancestry.com. He has 17 children in the Oregon area, some of which go to the same school and attend the same churches, and they don't know they're related. So he's suing for millions of dollars for fraud.
Well, his $70 just just went kind a far way.
Yeah, seriously.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That's insane.
And it's emotional distress. And it's like, you would think, like, I don't know. I haven't been in his shoes, obviously.
Right. Like,
I can't imagine what that does to the psyche. I mean, you certainly can't act casual.
No, but can you even imagine you're just strolling along in your day and all of a sudden you get a call and someone's like, hey, I'm your sibling, and you have a whole another part of your family you never knew about.
Right. Or you pass somebody in the store and you're like, that person looked a lot like me.
Right.
You know, or like, I don't know, as humans, we're pretty intuitive too. It's like a feeling or, it's like, think about him now. He's gonna be seeing himself in strangers for the rest of his life.
Oh, I mean, he's definitely going to have PTSD.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
All for $50 or whatever.
Have you seen the advertisements for that new TV show on Fox about, this is just like a different branch of fertility stories, but it was a fertility doctor, and this is, I think, based on a true story, but a fertility doctor who was using his own sperm to impregnate his patients.
I mean, talk about a violation of patient doctor whatever.
Well, I immediately started thinking about my doctor in Chicago,
and is he hot?
Like, oh my God, he's like in his I can't find words right now. I mean, he is a good looking man, but he's older and married. Like, think about that. Like, well, first of all, I'm not making an embryo. I'm just doing eggs. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, later in life, wouldn't that be so crazy?
So wild. So
apparently
wild.
In this show, the guy has like over 100 kids because his daughter confronts him and she's like, how many times? He's like, I don't know. I think I stopped counting at 100.
So crazy.
He's basically populated America.
I mean, the psychology, like, who thinks they're that great that they...
Well, I think probably the premise of the show is that he just thought he was helping these women who wanted babies. And like, okay, so I started reading about the actual man this, I believe, is based on. His name is Cecil Jacobson. And there's been other movies and stories written about this guy. But I mean, he has a long list of things that he was in trouble with the law for. So maybe he's not the best person. But he just said, like, sometimes the sperm donor wouldn't show up, or sometimes there was issues. And so I don't know, would he just go jack off in a cup and then be like, okay, we're back in business. Oh,
back in business.
So bizarre.
And, you know, I don't know a ton about the sort of picking a sperm donor situation, but I feel right. like you don't know who it is, but you pick qualifying things. Like, I want a tall person. I want someone with blue right. eyes, blonde hair. I want from a certain graduate. Profession. Yeah, those sorts of things. And it's like, did he check those check off all the boxes, or was he literally just giving them sperm?
You He's know? Just giving them sperm. I see what you're saying, though, about kind of being like this God complex. Right. Don't a lot of doctors kind of feel that way anyway?
Probably.
It's probably a generalization, but I feel like people say that. And so I wonder if there was some sort of like,
right.
Interesting.
Right. I once met a guy back when I lived in Los Angeles. I met a guy at the dog park who lived in an RV. And I still have his number, if it's still his number. It's in my phone as Sperm Guy.
What?
And yeah, he told me, and I researched him at the time because I was also like writing ideas for a reality production company.
Interesting.
And I thought we should do a show on him. There was an article in Playgirl or Playboy, one of them, about him, and like the New York Times. At the time, he was known as like Sperm Donor 101, and yeah. he had he had the most kids of any sperm donor in the country. And it was because he had gone to a really great college. He was tall. He had blonde hair, blue eyes. Like, on paper, he was perfect.
Right.
But he lived at the dog park in his RV.
Because he's only making dogs. $70. He's not like raking it in.
But he had started to meet kids. This was like early days of like Ancestry.com and everything.
Yeah.
And he was forming relationships with his kids. And I was like, do they know that you live in an RV? And then I got to go on his RV, and I was terrified.
Really? Why?
He lived in there with like five dogs, and it was a small RV.
Ew.
The kind that like fits on the back of a pickup, you know?
Oh, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a pretty life.
Wow, and he's the number one sperm yeah. pick.
Yeah.
That's why the girls that I knew who used to donate their eggs, and they were beautiful girls, and like they would be in high demand in the book just because, yeah, they physically were very attractive to the eye, and that's what people are drawn to, and...
What a shallow world we live in.
It truly is.
Yeah. You said something about the you're not making an embryo. Well,
correct.
I also read an interesting story about that.
Do tell.
A couple is suing a fertility clinic in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Because there was a mix-up with their embryo.
I always wonder about that, though. I mean...
Yeah. It was... Okay, hopefully I get this right. So... they wanted to have a second child
because
they already had an older daughter. And so they went in to get their embryo inserted. Meanwhile, a lady in Queens went to get an embryo inserted.
Mm-hmm.
An Asian woman in Queens went to get her embryo inserted. And the family in California lost the baby. The woman in Queens ended up giving birth to two babies, both of which were non-Asian. And were from different families.
So it wasn't her embryo.
It was not their embryo. And ultimately, she had to give the babies back.
Could you imagine?
To their biological parents.
So she carried them full
term?
She
carried them. And the woman in California, I mean, they're obviously suing, but the woman in California even said something like, I didn't get to hold and nurse my baby and have skin-to-skin contact for the first few months of his life. So
it's
not only did she
everybody.
Carry these babies,
yeah.
she was raising them.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Before they figured out what had happened.
Wow. I mean, I've thought about that, like, because obviously when you freeze your eggs, ultimately, unless I just randomly get pregnant naturally, which that would be the thing. Like, I'll go through this whole thing and then I'm just going to get right. pregnant or something. But
well, that's good.
It's though. Good to have backup. Yeah. But anyway, I've thought about that. Like, you... Then your guy has to go in, right? And like, I guess you really do. You just jack off into
in a cup.
I think, do you think you could do it under the pressure? Like, you know, a doctor's waiting outside and you're just like,
you like want to make like, act like it
through
takes
some
forever.
Porn?
Like, what do you... 2 hours later, you emerge and you're like, well, that was a, a long session. Sorry for the wait.
But really, it was 2 minutes.
Yeah, you're like reading. You're listening to Velvet's Ed's podcast.
He took a nap.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, he's like quiet. Give you like,
I mean, I've never done it, but I feel like they give you like porn.
They do. That's what I've heard. Funny. Oh my God. Well, so anyway, I've thought about if my guy goes in to do that, I'm going to like escort them. I'll be like, have that egg ready. I'm taking that sperm. And we were going straight to it.
We're going straight to the lab.
No mix ups here. Yeah. I mean, because that would be sad. Mm-hmm. You already are going through so much in this process, you know?
Yeah. And like, you would think that in the case of this doctor that actually used his sperm, like, they're trying to please their customer.
Right.
Like what you want is a baby.
Yeah.
You know, so it's...
Well, it's just common human era. Okay, maybe not common. Hopefully it's not so common. Wow. Well, I feel so comforted going into my egg retrieval. Right. Thank you.
Well, hey, wait, I got another story for you.
Oh, great.
So after I left that party in New York where I found out that my friend had two siblings,
yeah,
I was telling my friend that I was staying with about it, and she was like, oh my God. And I was like, what? She was like, another one of our friends at that party has recently found out she has six sisters.
What?
And she's gotten to know them. They've gone on a sister's vacation.
What?
And what it was, basically, she has confronted her father about it.
That's so what I was going to say. Are they asking their dad?
Yeah, she's confronted her father about it, and yeah, he admitted it. And yeah, what he told her was that the sperm bank that he was donating told him that he had really strong sperm.
Strong swimmers.
And what they were using his sperm for was to help push along the other guys. And, you know, he's a college kid, and this was early days fertility stuff, so he didn't know. They were lying to him. Like, they were basically saying, your sperm is so strong, it's going to help the other man's sperm, like,
swim
it's going to push
faster.
It along. Yeah, mm-hmm. But really what it was doing was impregnating these women.
Wow.
So he has, there were six kids. And the crazy thing, so she's told her dad, but she hasn't told her mother or her biological sister, because her biological sister, they like grew up together. So they, you know, it's not a full, but it's a half sister. It's a half sister. So it would leave her without other sisters. She would be the only one without other sisters. So she hasn't figured out how to tell her sister yet.
I mean, but in reality, is it? I mean, it would be weird for sure. But like, you can't really be even mad at your dad. What if he just needed the money? Right. Or
I mean, what he did was innocent. Yeah, it's. I think it would just be weird. I mean, it would also be exciting. Like,
you know,
what if your sister was like really cool?
That's true. What if your sister was Beyonce?
Right.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I also was thinking as you were talking, it'd almost be like if your dad was just really promiscuous and you didn't find out till later in your life. Like if he had nothing to... Maybe that was a stretch. Was that a stretch?
No, I mean, well, the difference is that like if your dad was just like running around knocking people up, like
I mean, he was.
He would have a lot more responsibility though.
Like, well, the women.
Then he would also be a deadbeat dad and you could really be mad at him for
that. That's true. Okay, that's... Okay, well, you know what? You just made a great point.
Unless your dad's just loaded and paying for everybody and not telling you about
right.
it.
Right. But I mean, if you do go donate your sperm, you are impregnate. You are pretty sure you're probably going to impregnate some women.
Yeah.
So... I don't
unless
know.
Unless it's for test, unless you can, I don't know, maybe you can sign something where it's only used for testing or research.
Well,
or,
I doubt that. But also, the women who are using the sperm are signing up. Like, it's a consensual, you're right. not going to be involved.
Right.
So there you go. That's the difference. Really glad we
so
figured that out.
So wait, tell us a little bit about the process.
Oh, the egg process?
Yeah, but you haven't done that yet. Right?
No, okay. So I went in for my initial ultrasound, which is... yeah, I mean, this will all be documented too. So, because I get a lot of messages because I started talking about it last season on the show and people want to know, like, did you do it? And I haven't really talked about it because I'm just now doing it now, but it will all be documented and people can see that. But yeah, I went in and got the ultrasound and I had much better results than I had the first time, which was great. But still, my blood work shows that, like, I mean, it's very common for my age where I'm at, but...
The ultrasound can see.
Yeah, they shove something up you, basically. Ooh. No, it's
I love
not.
It's going to be
fun.
Documented.
Oh my God. Not up close.
I love a good ultrasound video.
You're so perverse. Like, you even like vagina. Come on. Okay. So anyway, yeah, you have this weird thing that almost resembles a penis put up there, and then they go look at your ovaries and they can see follicles on your ovary. So the first time I did it, I had a cyst on one of my ovaries, which is common as well. Most women do at some point, and they kind of just go away by themselves. So that's what happened, but they couldn't see any follicles. And so I was freaking out even more because I had a really low number. This time I had still a low number, but better. So yeah, they see the follicles, and that's what can produce an egg. So then,
so interesting.
Then they can decide how much medicine you need or like what kind of protocol they should use on you. And so when I go back, I will start taking 2 shots a day, basically, and pump myself full of hormones, probably cry a lot, maybe be mad. I don't know. Or maybe I'll be normal. Who knows?
Maybe it might even you out.
Maybe so. And then it just stimulates your ovaries, which they expand really big. And that's why you can't like exercise or anything, because they can get twisted. So then at the end of the 2 weeks, they do a procedure where you kind of get put under, and they stick that same thing that the ultrasound thing is with a needle on the end of it in there. And they tap the end of the follicle. I'm probably doing a terrible job of explaining, but they tap the end of the follicle with the needle, it bursts, and they can see if there's an egg in there, and then they can retrieve it.
That's so insane. Mm-hmm.
So then you pull out all the eggs you can, and then they go into the freezing process. And here's where it gets, like, when you're sitting in that doctor's office, it gets so discouraging, because you're like, They say, you know, we're going to pull out, let's say we pull out, they want to pull out between 18 and 21. And like with me, they're like, we'd be happy with 4 to 8, because wow, that's where I'm at. So that's why I might have to do it multiple times. But so let's say they got 18 eggs. Well, the reason they want more than less is because it's just a numbers game, because not all of those are going to be viable. You know, the older you get, the less healthy your eggs get. Then once you freeze them, I mean, they have to go in when they're making the embryos later. They have to take, and like that is a whole nother part of the process. So the probability is low. I mean, there's all like a numbers game. And so you just want as many as you can get. And yeah,
it's so fascinating. Like, I mean, when I look at an ultrasound of a baby, I'm like, yeah, I don't see its eyes. They're like, look at his face. I'm like, it looks,
oh
like
my
a,
God. They like, were like, look, there's
a
your
fetus.
Yeah. They were like, look, there's a follicle. And I was like, it looks like a black hole. I don't see anything,
and the
but
fact
cool.
That they're able to like see that themselves and then
I know.
See an egg and extract it.
It's
is
insane.
Mind-blowing.
And just the fact that you have, like, the reason I want to document all of this is because I want girls to know, you know, like my career and just honestly the way that my dating life has played out, it hasn't worked out that I got married young, you know, and that's okay. I'm so glad that I never settled or that some of those relationships didn't work out, you know. I mean, looking back, I'm just super grateful and I love my life, but I want a family and I want kids. And so it's so great that we have this option. And I wish I had done it earlier is the only
right
thing. And so of course I want girls now to know, like, you can do this and we have this option. And like, if you're 30 and you don't see a relationship in your future, like, start saving now and do it.
Right. Yeah. Cause that's the thing. You have more eggs at that point.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they, you know, my age is basically the last that they really want you to do this, or before the eggs, you can do it. It can happen. But like your eggs start to be less healthy, and that's when you start seeing like birth defects and stuff like that. Again, it can be done. It's not like, you know, it's over, but they say you can get more when you're younger and you're just healthier eggs. So I think the whole process is probably easier, but anyway, that's it.
Keep that freezer under lock and key.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else could like handle raising a Kelly.
It would take a special kind of person.
A special mom and dad. Or maybe 2 dads would probably be better.
Are you trying to get my eggs? I see what's happening here. Okay.
If you got any leftovers, let me know.
I'll pass them over. All of a sudden, I'm just passing eggs around. I've thought about that too, though. I'm like, what if I don't end up using these? They're just going to be sitting in the freezer.
Right.
I got to do something with them. So,
well,
count yourself in. Yeah. Dozen eggs coming your way.
I got dibs. A dozen eggs.
I wish. That would be great.
That'd be amazing.
Hopefully it's not my doctor's sperm, but you never know. You never know.
He's good looking.
He's great.
And a doctor.
I loved him. He's great.
Yeah, good.
Okay. Well, on that note, they're going to be like, actually, we don't want to do your procedure anymore.
Yeah, we got to make sure that this is post later or something. Let's save this one.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, hopefully none of these weird fertility stories happen to me, and more to come on my egg journey.
And best of luck to all these babies out there.
Yeah. Just seriously. Everybody just keep remaining casual. Just
at casual.
Bye. Bye. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of At Casual on Velvet's Edge.
We'll be back every Friday with your Act Casual topic of the week. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast to ensure that you are the first to hear each episode.
Also, we want to hear from you. What are some things that make you want to scream Act Casual, or just topics you think we need to discuss? Email us at actcasual@velvetsedge.com, and always remember,
Act Casual.